February is always an interesting month. It's always been a very busy month in our family. Multiple birthdays, including mine, a week from today. I'll be 57. I don't feel 57 most time. And then there's other days that I do feel 57. I hope I still look pretty decent for my age. I try, you know. It's been a tough year, letting the hair grow natural, you know. But I'm a strong woman. And as Kenny Chesney, when he was talking about in his PR release for the single that's coming out here on Valentine's Day of Everyone She Knows, which was part of his 2020 Here and Now album, which I have reviewed here on my podcast because it is a very favorite album of mine for some very personal reasons. And but he was talking about how the character in Everyone She Knows, oh my gosh, brain fog. It's been a whole day of working on my insurance job. I'm switching from property and casualty insurance to talking about this song and talking about February now. And Everyone She Knows, it's about a strong woman who's not afraid to be herself, who does not follow life's expected path, who has the strength to just be herself. And it's something that I've always espoused in my life. I haven't always taken the traditional path. You know, yes, I am a mother. Yes, my children are grown. The last 4 years have been very, very interesting, to say the least. I pray that things do get better here and, things do become all right here. You know, there's been a lot of, road work paved the way to get it there, to get where things should be, but it's still not there and it's really frustrating. And a week before my birthday, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about it and I'm hoping that by my birthday, everything will be all right, you know, and that all this stuff will have been fixed. You know, when you end up with somebody to fix, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to stay strong. It's a challenge to be someone's rock when at times all you want to do is just curl up in a corner and cry, you know. But, you know, we all have to find that strength to get through times. And we all have to follow our own beat. You know, we don't have to all be the same. We don't all have to have, you know, the perfectly arched, almost caterpillar type of eyebrows. I really don't even know what to call them now that all the women are wearing and the hair that's parted down this, you know, the perfect hair color and cut and everything. I mean, you know, or going and getting plastic surgery and trying to stop the effects of aging. I mean, I think, you know, as a woman of my age, you know, I sit and I look and I'm like, you know, I guess I'm fairly lucky. I got pretty decent genes. I don't really want to go past the size 14 gene. That is one of my fears. But just because I've always been bottom heavy and that just... That's my one thing, you know. I can deal with getting a few wrinkles. I could deal with the gray hair, of course, you know. There's so many young women who are dyeing their hair gray and silver and stuff. And it's like, well, mine's kind of naturally turning that color. I'd like to control a little bit more. I do need, it does need a little help, I can tell you. You know, that is one thing about when you age, too. You know, the texture of your hair changes. And, you know, that to me was probably one of the hardest things was I've always had, you know, what my mother used to call a fat hair because the individual hairs were so, you know, thick and they were strong. And of course I have a lot of curl and when you have a lot of curl, you got a lot of frizz and it's like, well, how do I control this? What do I do? You know, and then it starts drying out a little bit more as you get older. It gets a little more brittle. It gets a little more dry, but yet it still has frizz. And it's like, well, how do I control this? What do I do? You know, what products do I use? I'm not somebody who hangs out at the beauty salon a lot, but I do admit I do need to go and I do need to get a good professional haircut here again and figure out how I want to work this color because it's very, very silver and white on top, but then it's still my natural color down underneath. And so, you know, I'm trying to figure it all out. And it's really funny because sometimes I'll be places and somebody will say, gosh, you got beautiful hair. And I'm like going, yeah, this frizzy stuff. So, again, it's being a strong woman and not letting people knock you down in terms of if you're a little bit different, if you do your own thing, if you're a nonconformist. I've always been kind of a nonconformist, you know, even when I joined a sorority. Our sorority was very, I don't know what you call it. Not everybody looked alike. We very diverse. It was a very diverse sorority with a lot of different really great characters. And the other sorority that I hung out a lot around and have such great friends who have really, you know, the last year when I got back on Facebook, which I do keep private, I reconnected with a lot of my sorority sisters and what I consider my second group of sorority sisters, and then a third group of people from other sororities and fraternities and stuff from my college. And they're all like family. And some of them, you know, and some people that were independent too. And my photography friends, I consider, you know, my photography fraternity, you know, these people that I've known for many years since the, you know, when Google Plus was in beta, you know, these people that we stand by each other and we support each other. And we're always, you know, trying to lift each other's photography up and to lift their spirits. And I share, you know, a lot of my photography friends from the old Google Plus days on my at HWSI 2022 now on Instagram, and then other photographers that I find, and musicians and small businesses and people that I've met along the way whose work I want to promote. And I try to build that because I believe very strongly in sharing. And when you share, you make the attribution to the creator. Make sure that you do that, because you should not be sharing work without attribution. And I try to share, and I try to help promote and get people connected. And that's kind of something I've always done. And, I even did that back in college. You know, when I sit there and I look at the friends that I had in college, it was a very diverse group. You know, I didn't join the sorority until sophomore year, even though I wanted to join what I consider my second sorority, freshman year, and it just didn't happen. And I was very, very disappointed. But then I joined my sorority, and I have my sorority sisters, and they've been very supportive. When I had a really tough time, you know, all these people came, and people from high school too. And that's another group, you know, the high school and going back to sixth grade, you know, friends that I have and everything that have been really wonderful, you know. When I hit rock bottom last year, just because of some stuff that it had occurred around us that we're still digging out from, you know, they were there, and it's just been really good. And there are a lot of things that I have not been able to discuss with them, because there's just a lot of stuff that just still needs to be straightened out and everything. But it's good to know that I have these people. And one of my sorority sisters was the one who recommended me for my editing job, and I'm finally getting the hang of it. All those years that I ignored property and casualty insurance in favor of doing the life and health insurance stuff for the guarantee fund, you know, it comes back, because I've seen a lot of this stuff before. But it's been a challenge to start writing that. I'm in the middle of writing about non-consensual towing. How many people know about that? It's when, you know, when your car it's been ordered to be towed by a law enforcement authority, and you have no choice, no say in the towing company. And especially like with commercial vehicles, you know, there it can really rack up to tens of thousands of dollars. You know, if you got a couple jackknife semis that are on their side or something, and they're out with your company, or you know, the cleanup was involved. I mean, there's just so many things. And you know, again, here is where I become this non-traditional person. You know, I am somebody who has been just so diverse in everything that I do, with the songwriting, with the photography, with the art, with the, you know, I love to make jewelry. I follow so many jewelers, and I love watching what they do. I would love to get back in there and do some jewelry again and design some stuff, because to me, it's about the design portions, and it's, you know, the artistic side and the cooking, you know, the food. I love good food. I love creating recipes. I love meeting people. I love meeting chefs like Chef Tomas and Mahit Chuan, here. And, you know, seeing successful people like Cameron Mitchell, you know, from Upper Arlington, and what he's done, you know, with his restaurants and everything, with his life, you know. And Jenny from Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream, another Upper Arlington person here. You know, and seeing her shops opening down here in Nashville and going, hey, she's from my hometown, you know. And, you know, just everybody that you meet here in Nashville and everything, and the music scene. You know, I wish that I could get out a lot more, but there's been, you know, a lot of, there's been some safety concerns that you know, have been really frustrating and stuff. But I do get why people come to Nashville and why people are so into this town and so into the music and where the heart and the soul is. And you know, and when I talk to a couple of the musicians that I send my songs to Kenny and to Jason, and I talk to them about Nashville, and I talk to them about music, and they give me feedback on the writing. It's really wonderful, and I really pray one of these days they will cut one of these songs. You know, I know that they have several in their possession that they have worked on my stuff, because I know that it's been come back. You know, can you change this verse, you know, can you, what, you know, I'm stuck on this, and it's really cool that you could do that. But I've met so many people, you know, that are just trying to start out in this, and this is like a third career for me to try to do this, you know, and I'm dying to get my photography back up and going and get my site going and this podcast. And I think that, you know, being an untraditional woman, you have that ability to look and see what's around you, to see the opportunities, to see what you can do. And even when you go through stuff that's not pleasant, when you lose as much as I've lost the last couple years, but yet I'm starting to gain other stuff. I'm gaining this creativity. I'm gaining what my voice is. I really have learned who I am. And I try to reach out to friends, and I try to reach out and promote other people's businesses and their work, because I think it's really important to be supportive of each other. And you know, I was at my last one, I did a review of Red Perch. I was at Red Perch and I got to meet the owner, and they're really nice people, and I think it's a really great little business. And you know, I've gone up to Chattable several times, and I love going there, and I love eating the food there. And when I lived right near there, I used to walk by and I see Mahit from time to time. And I didn't know who it was at the time, but I would always say hello and stuff. And there's just so many cool things here in Nashville. But yet Nashville's not been easy by any means. It's been so damn tough at times that, you know, I've wanted to curl up in a ball and I've wanted to cry. And I'm like, why the hell, you know, is all this stuff come down on me? Why did all this stuff happen? And sometimes I think that we go through these challenging times, these tough times, whether by yourself or collectively, as we have, you know, during this pandemic, that it can make you a stronger person, and you can come out of it a better person. But it's hard, and it's hard when you have to be very cautious as to everything that you do, everything that you say, everywhere you go. And because you know, you didn't do anything, but there are some people that just, hey, they don't like you. And you sit there and you wonder, why don't you like me? What did I do to you? I didn't do anything to you, you know? But I guess we all have had that, you know? And we all make judgments on people sometimes. And we look at the person on the street corner and we judge them. And we really shouldn't judge people, but we do. I mean, I think it's part of human nature. But what you do once you make that judgment is you take that judgment and you throw it aside and you say, hey, you know, I'm going to give this person a chance. I'm going to give this person an opportunity. I'm going to give them, you know, I'm going to put aside any prejudgment I have made of them before I've even spoken to them, just from their appearance. And I'm going to wait and see what type of person that is. And sometimes you discover that these people are really great people. And sometimes you discover that they're just as horrible as you thought they might be. You know, I mean, it's just human nature. Human nature is really weird. And human nature is one, you know, I have a friend who's struggling a lot, and you know, she's got a lot of stuff that she's got to work out, and she needs friends and she needs people to believe in her. But you know, sometimes it comes to a head where you just got to get the hell out of there, and you got to get away for a while, and you got to clear your head. And you know, it was something I had to do, but I fully intend to always stay friends with this person, because this person was there for me when I really needed somebody there for me. And, you know, I think that's what friends are. And my best friend too, you know, I my best friend, and his wife, you know, they have a little bit of different political views than I do. They're not that far apart, to tell you the truth, but you know, there's a few times that I just kind of like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You know, we have discussed a few of the things before, my best friend and I. You know, he is aware of my opinion, and I'm aware of how they feel about stuff, but it's not that far apart. You know, it's not that far apart. But, you know, there's just certain things that we all do. We all have certain things that we keep inside of us, and then there are certain people that we know that we're comfortable to share it with and to open up to and to express our feelings to and to have true connections with. You know, a lot of what happened to me had to do with this connection that I had with somebody who needed some fixing, who had come to this point where there was just some stuff that was above and beyond what they could control. And unfortunately, I stepped into a firestorm, and it really affected my life. But in some ways, it made me a stronger person, and I have had to be that person's rock. And it's hard when you have to be somebody's rock, and you're going through all this, and you have people coming down on your head, and you have people that you know, don't like you, that hate you, that want to destroy you just because you have this connection that they are jealous of, that they want, or because of their corruption and their greed. And you see the bad side of stuff. You know, I saw the bad side of the insurance industry all the years that I worked in the guarantee fund. And I never expected anything to be worse than that. But I have seen that in the banking industry, and I have seen that in the music industry. And, but yet, you know, in the music industry, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of really great people. I've met some really great, performers and songwriters and talent and people who really have a passion for the music. And I think that there's a lot of really exciting stuff now that artists can do on their own. And there's all this excitement too. You know, I've talked about NFTs before and musical NFTs, and we're starting to see that now. I think it was Keith Richards was auctioning off one of his guitars on site for NFTs, which was founded by Quincy Jones, and is going to be doing the Grammys. And there are a lot of these things. And I saw that Warner Music was getting into doing NFTs too. And I'm kind of curious about that, how that's going to work, whether their artists would be able to do other types of NFTs. Because I think that as a musical artist, you know, you can create an NFT that combines some new music, that combines, you know, handwritten lyrics, or what you could do is you could create an NFT, you know, have an artist create a three-dimensional NFT of maybe your lyrics coming off the page. And then part of the unlockable stuff is that you can actually have the actual physical copy of the NFT of the handwritten lyric, but yet you also own the NFT, which assigns ownership to that non-fungible item. which is, you know, the blockchain transactions and everything. I'm not going to totally get into NFTs right now, but you know, I mean, there's opportunities, or you can unlock special experiences, private events, you know, meeting, you know, say you want to meet Kenny. And let's say you want, you know, and Kenny auctions off this NFT, and it could be, you know, it could be some kind of artwork or a special photo or something that's the actual NFT, the bite of the ownership, and the unlockable content would be VIP tickets to an event. And so I have broached this with both Kenny and Jason, especially Jason, about how do we create the NFTs, and trying to advise a little bit. You know, what do you want to collect? You know, you just don't want to flip them. You want to buy stuff that means something to you. I mean, yeah, you want it to go up in value. I mean, it'd be great if, you know, if all of a sudden you discovered, oh, hey, I accidentally bought a Bored Ape Club when it first came out, and now it's worth at least a minimum of $500,000. I would love to do that. You know, trust me, I could use a $500,000 right now. But, you know, it's just really interesting, all the stuff that is happening in the music world and in the art world, and where they can connect and combine together. And when you have two people that are so closely connected, one who is a music person and one who is a visual artist like I am, but then there is also this interconnection because of songwriting, it's really a good thing. And, you know, there's so many things that just keep coming into my mind that I think that Nashville just kind of inspires. And as hard as it's been, you know, I'm still recovering from my fall, and I'm still trying to figure out that fall. I mean, I went back and I looked at where I fell, and there is truly a lip of a curb that when I was going fast, I just completely flew across. But sometimes I wonder, was I pushed? You know, I mean, you always go back to all this stuff, and all this stuff that has happened to me here in Nashville. You know, was was this an accident or was it not? You know, and I'm still trying to heal. I've got to figure out how on earth, you know, to handle. Thank God I had health insurance, but I still got bills I got to pay, and I'm waiting for all this stuff, these developments to come in line, so that all this stuff that's happened to me, and my dear one, the last several years can just be erased, and we can be happy, and we can be together, and we can do what we have planned to do for so long. And, you know, and it's crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff when you sit there and you think about it. And, you know, again, it goes back to being strong in strength. And you have to have the strength to carry on, to be somebody's rock, to help fix someone who needs to be fixed, who through no fault of their own ended up in just these situations. And, you know, it could be a friend, it could be your loved one, it could be whatever. And you have to be strong. And, you know, it gets crazy at times. It really honestly does. And, you know, I wonder how I got to this place sometimes. And I wonder why I was so hated, and I never did anything wrong, but, you know, I lift my head up, I hold my head up high, and I do my best to help those who need help as much as I can. I am there for my friends, my family, my dear ones. I try to keep my strength up. I try to keep my spirits up. I try to be inspirational. I try to be creative. I try to share people's work, and I try to always put on a positive face, even when, you know, I don't want to. And I did get a little mad. I really wanted some chicken tenders yesterday, and I walked down to this restaurant, and I opened the door, you know, and they said, are you here to pick up an order? I said, no, I'm here to order. Well, we only take orders online. What do you mean? You have a restaurant. You can't take an order in. No, you have to order. And I'm like, that is the most stupid thing I've ever seen. You know, how can you have a restaurant not have a sign that says you have to order online, but yet you have a restaurant, you have a cash register, you have everything. Why can't a person masked, now I'm masked, walk in and place an order? You know, and I just,
I probably left there and I probably said a few things that I couldn't undermine because I was just so angry that somebody would just act that way, you know? I mean, and it was rudely said to me, you know? I think that kind of set me off too. It's like, they were kind of like, what the hell are you doing here? Well, it's a restaurant, it's open. It doesn't say you have to order online, you know? So, you know, I get it, and I get it, and I'm not perfect, you know, and this is the part of the story. I mean, I'm not perfect, you know. I will get angry, and you know, I did say some stuff behind the bottom of my breath, and I walked down and actually stopped a couple shops down and said, you know what, forget it, I've got some stuff in the fridge, I'm just going to eat what's in the fridge, and I stopped and got some bubble tea, and the guy in there was just so delightful to talk to after that experience trying to get some chicken. And the young man who was working in the bubble tea place, Sweet Dots, on Elliston Court, on Elliston, is it Elliston Street here in Nashville, right across from Exit Inn. He was just the sweetest young man in the world. And it was just an absolute complete delight to talk to him after that experience when I at the other restaurant where I was just treated very rudely. It's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And excuse my language, but you know, that was the attitude I got. And had I seen a sign that said, you got to order online first, you know, it would have been a little bit different. I would have just walked on or gone someplace else. But you know, you deal with, and the point is, you deal with this negative stuff and the stuff that really upsets you, that, and then you go and you have this really positive experience. And this young man yesterday really gave me a positive experience. And it was really nice. It was really nice to talk to him because I'd had a long day at work, a long day trying to do this stuff. I had a long day trying to work some stuff, you know, some personal stuff out too that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get, you know, my ducks in order here, you know, and get moving on with things that I need to do. And you know, and so you had that negative experience first, and then you have a very positive one. And I think that's how we need to go through life is, you know, we do experience a lot of negative things, but there are so many positive things in our lives that, is really worth, you know, it's really worth it. And, you know, and you gotta be strong. And, I go back to what the theme of this was, you know, everyone she knows. There's so many people that I know. There's so many people that I met along the way. There's so many people in this journey of life that I've met. And, you know, I may not be traditional, never have been traditional, but, you know, I do have, you know, dreams of some more traditional stuff that I'm hoping. And I'm hoping that, you know, age 57 is going to be good because, you know, God knows that 55 and 56 were pretty crappy. We're pretty darn crappy, you know, except for the fact that I really discovered my voice when it came to songwriting, and I rediscovered writing, drawing again until I broke my arm, which my arm is now starting to get back, so I think I'm going to try some more drawing again. And, you know, and I still have my love of photography, and, you know, that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going while I wait for everything to get fixed, while I wait for everything to be all right, while I wait for, you know, the stuff, the good stuff. And we need the good stuff. We all need the good stuff. So I'm going to end this hopefully on a positive note and just tell you, you know, appreciate what you have. And I know that sometimes we always want more. But do appreciate what you do have. And, you know, and just make sure to let those near and dear to you know how much you care about them and how much they mean to you and how much their friendship and their love means to you. Because, you know, we live in times that it's just not easy. It's not easy. And we need a little happiness. We need a little joy. And, you know, just be there for each other and support each other. And I just want to thank you all for listening.